Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tennis Weekly with Joel, Kim and Chris. On today's Australian Open draw preview, sponsored by DownloadTennis.com.
Djokovic goes in search of his own La Decima.
Nadal gets handed a tricky start.
And Naomi Osaka announces her pregnancy on social media.
Kim, Chris, today is the 12th of January and we are here to catch up on the Australian Open draws at Tennis Weekly HQ. The draws happened this morning, Thursday morning. We were waking up, we were looking at all the potential fallout from the draws, round one, looking at all the projected pathways for Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, all very, very exciting. I mean, how are we feeling with Melbourne coming interview so quickly and so early on in the season? I feel like obviously it happens every year, but it sort of takes me by surprise a little bit.
Well, after having had a brief look at the draws earlier, my initial thoughts were, how is Djokovic's marketing team going to factor in the 10 into his name? You know how they make it like the clever kind of they format it so that like one of the letters becomes a 1 and one of them becomes a 0. I'm just trying to work out what letters are going to be used for the 1 and the 0.
Is this how resigned you are to Novak Djokovic just steamrolling the tournament? I mean, I know the draws came out and I know there's been a lot of chat, which we're going to get into, about his draw being very, very favourable, at least on paper. Has it just sort of given you this mindset that potentially the men's draw, this is just going to be the Djokovic revenge show in Melbourne?
He could well win without losing a set, which will be a complete turnaround on his Australian Open of 2022. I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think it's definitely his to lose, shall we say. And I don't want to be all negative in terms of Rafa's chances, but I've got to be realistic.
I think if it does happen, my bet is on the Novak. I think the 1 would be in the capitalized N at the end and the O would be the 0 for the 10. If it does happen, that's what I'm going for.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what I'm going to predict. That Djokovic will lose to Kyrgios in the practice match and then not drop a set. That's likely, I think. Because I feel like we've had two
matches.
Rounds.
Oh my, I feel like I haven't heard enough about practice matches over the last couple of days. I don't know what it is, but I don't know if any of our listeners feel this, but it feels like practice matches is like the in vogue phrase at the moment in the build up to Grand Slams, which I don't feel like we ever really kind of spoke about before. And these matches always sort of happened, but it feels like now they're becoming a lot more of a thing. We're reading a lot more into the results. And as you said, for that Kyrgios Djokovic match, which we touched on in our first catch-up, they're becoming like more of a marketing thing that was already there. And now it's becoming an even greater thing.
I mean, why hold a tournament when you can just sell out your practice matches? It's a lot less effort. And the practice, you can schedule who you want to play. You don't even have to win a round.
But this is for charity, have we established, after
yes.
our...
Yes. The Australian Tennis Foundation.
Oh, perfect. Because, yeah, we were a bit sceptical if it wasn't. Yeah.
I mean, I've got to be honest and hold my hand up here, because I was very kind of scathing of this, but it sounds like there's an audience because it's sold out within 58 minutes, which I find I find that unbelievable, because this is not even part of the Grand Slam. It's like... It's for me like a sideshow. It's a kind of PR vehicle for me for this Breakpoint, Netflix documentary kind of coming out. But for it to sell out in 58 minutes, that's it just shows, I guess, that there is demand out there for these sort of practice matches that I feel like us tennis fans, I would have probably laughed at if you had suggested that to me like a year ago.
I guess, you know, they might as well capitalise on the interest and the demand if it's raising funds that are going to be put to good use. Mm. I'm all for charity, you know, fundraising. But yeah, I mean, I guess I just, and it's a way of introducing maybe audiences to tennis who maybe they wouldn't think to go to the actual tournament, but they might be up for a bit of a fun, non-serious match on a Friday evening. So I think there's positives. I do wonder if the Netflix, you know, show producers or anything, do you think they sort of had a subtle
it's a good launch, isn't it,
influence in this? Yeah, I'd be quite curious to know about that. But
I'm going to see if this become curious to see if this becomes a thing, a trend even throughout the season. I can't imagine Wimbledon doing something like this, but I could imagine the US Open doing something like this.
Yeah, I think two, it's AO and US that would be inclined to do it. But we'll have to wait and see on Wimbledon. There's many things that Wimbledon don't allow and haven't historically. So it'll be going some if they innovated too much in 1 year. But let's have a look at the actual draw, shall we? Because we've alluded to the fact that Djokovic has a somewhat favourable draw, as you diplomatically said, Joel. One player who doesn't have a favourable draw, particularly, depending on how you look at it, is Rafa Nadal, who is the defending champion and the top seed. He's been drawn in the first round, Jack Draper, who obviously for many British listeners and fans would be very aware of. Even if you're not British, you know, Jack Draper has been making inroads, steadily climbing the rankings, definitely a young player to watch.
He's doing well in Adelaide this week.
In good form. So many people are tipping this as a very, very difficult title defence for Rafa in his first match. Chris, who do you think is going to get this one? I know you've put a poll up on our social media and I think people are quite divided about this one.
People are very divided. The people said with 53%, Nadal would take it, but at times it was 51 versus 49. So 53 to Nadal for the victory, 47 to Jack Draper. I should have given an option for not sure, because I think a lot of us would be on the fence there if we could be. But for me, I think it depends on a couple of things. I think it's a big leap, isn't it, for Jack? I mean, he's had some great results at some sort of great performances at majors. But I mean, Nadal, the defending champion, the number one seed, Australian Open, that is a really big moment. And I think it's one of those times when the experience of Nadal, I think, will get him through it. Across those five sets, there'll be moments when you're going to have a mental wobble and Nadal's going to keep going as long as he physically can. And I think in those moments, I think he'll really make his experience pay dividends.
Yeah, I have to say over five sets, I'd give Rafa the edge, but I do think it could well go five sets. If it was like a Masters event level, you know, and it was just best of three, I'd be more inclined to go for Draper. But it really depends on Rafa's fitness. And, you know, he's obviously had those two matches at the United Cup, which he sort of lost in three each time. So we'll have to see. Maybe Draper might, you know, sometimes players start off the year well, and then when it gets into the slam, it doesn't quite transcend. But yeah, Joel, do you have any comments on Rafa's draw? I mean, if he gets through Draper, he could well have like Nakashima in the second round.
That's a tough second
round. Third round. Francis Tiafoe in the fourth round, who beat him at the US Open.
Yeah, I know. It's a really tough path. And I think, you know, if you're a Nadal fan, I think you're looking at this Grand Slam and thinking, you know, you'd ideally want to kind of build, you know, into the tournament, you know, ideally have a couple of easy gimme matches in the, you know, the opening rounds, maybe against a qualifier or a, you know, lucky loser. But it really is one of those, you know, draws that's been handed to him where I think he's going to have to come out, you know, he's going to have to come out relatively sharp, and I think sharper than he did show at the United Cup. You know, he's a player who is out of form. He's lost, I think, the six of his last seven matches, and that's not the form you want, I think, when you're coming in against someone like a Jack Draper. I would add to kind of Chris's points that I also think, you know, Jack Draper's doing very well in Adelaide, you know, this week. He has the opportunity even to maybe even win an ATP Tour singles title, but that could also, I think, factor in that kind of transition. I think we've seen some players, you know, have really good kind of build-ups you know, in those kind of tournaments just before the Grand Slam starts, but actually they've almost kind of peaked too early. So I'll be interested to see how that kind of transition is handled by Draper. But yeah, certainly I think Nadal has got a tricky path with, yeah, potentially again kind of Nakashima. We saw him do well at Wimbledon last year, and Tiafoe. So although he's a defending champion, I'm not gonna think ahead of myself, I think, for Rafa, which is a bit of a surprise, I think, given, you know, you normally see him in the draw and you normally kind of just sort of pencil mark him in naturally for, you know, the second week and beyond. But, you know, at the moment I think there's almost, yeah, too much uncertainty there that, you know, dare I say, could he go out in week one?
I think it's possible. I think it's not just the first round. There seems to be a number of potentially quite difficult opponents for him. I mean, the other bit of this draw contains Daniil Medvedev, the finalist of last year. You know, he very almost won the tournament. He's at the bottom of this section, but we've got Seb Korda, who, you know, just narrowly lost to Djokovic in Adelaide last week. They could very well meet in the fourth round. So one of them, you know, could potentially be a quarterfinalist for Rafa or someone like Tiafoe. Chris, where do you reckon Daniil Medvedev is going to fare this time round? You know, he's made the last two finals at this event. Do you think he could make it three in a row looking at his draw?
I think we're seeing a very different Medvedev. I mean, he's no longer kind of that wall that gets back everything. And I think we're seeing some cracks in his armour in the last couple of... last season, obviously he won a Grand Slam season before and reached the final. But I think he's come a bit unstuck at times, and he's had some surprising losses to some players. So I think he's someone that Nadal, you wouldn't want to see Medvedev, a Grand Slam champion, in your quarterfinal draw. But for Medvedev, I think any match is quite a tough match for him at the moment. He is out of form, and of all the people you could play in the third round, I think Seb Korda is one of the people you'd want to play least based on his showing against Djokovic. And I've actually bookmarked Korda to take that one and to set up a rematch with Nadal from last year's Australian Open, which was five sets. So I think it's a really tough section, and any number of players could probably make it out of this one.
So looking at the second quarter, here we've got a player headlining this quarter who's done very, very well at the Australian Open of recent, making the semi-finals in three of the last four tournaments, and that is Stefanos Tsitsipas, who I think, personally, looking at his draw, it's not a bad draw. You know, he could potentially have the likes of Jannik Sinner in his fourth round, or Botic's van der Zandschulp in the third. And at the other side of this quarter, you've got the Cam Norries and the FAAs. So Borna Koric as well, perhaps throwing a bit of a surprise. Joel, from looking at this quarter, is your money on Tsitsipas to get to the semi-finals again? You know, his recent form, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's, again, he had a very good start to the season at the, you know, the United Cup. He loves playing, you know, at the Australian Open. He's done very, very well there in the past. And, you know, you could argue that, you know, he's had those matches, you know, against big opponents at the business end of Grand Slams, those sort of heartbreak moments that I think, you know, he has now those experiences that could potentially, you know, having, you know, had those moments, you know, now could be his time to, you know, to break that duck and win his first Grand Slam. I think he is a very, you know, dangerous player, I think, in this, you know, top half of the draw. And I think, again, unlike Nadal, he's probably, I think, got quite a nice route in. You know, he's got a few kind of qualifiers and lucky losers and wild cards around him. I think it does get tricky once he does meet the kind of bottom section in his quarter, where you do have players like Cam Norrie and Borna Coric. I think Cam Norrie has been playing fantastic. He's had a really good start to the season. Again, playing really, really well in Auckland at the moment. You've got Felix Auger-Aliassime. So I think we'll know a bit more about Tsitsipas once he gets, I think, to kind of round four. I think he's going to be one of these players maybe we don't pay too much attention to in the earlier rounds, given the quality of oppositions around him. But yeah, certainly I think when he gets to kind of the third and the fourth round, and maybe even the you know, the quarterfinals, I think there's certainly going to be some opponents there that I think we're going to really know what Tsitsipas has turned up at the Australian Open.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm hoping that Norrie could go on a good run here, you know, British hope, and obviously in recent form, like currently playing well out in Auckland. he could very well face potentially Felix Auger-Aliassime in the fourth round. FAA does have a very strong head-to-head against Norrie, but I think that could be a close encounter this time.
And also, you know, Borna Coric as well, he is a player who's shown, you know, last season, I think was in Cincinnati, he's on his day, he's a great player. Cam Norrie on his day is a great player. So again, I think both of those players, it's going to be fascinating to see if that does end up in a third round match, Coric v Norrie, you know, who comes out there, because I think they're both on their day, just very, very combative players and can test even the best players on a Grand Slam stage.
And Joel, I know Chris mentioned this the other day, but your favourite Lloyd Harris is back and yes. In this section of the draw.
His favourite male tennis Musetti player, Lloyd
in
Harris.
The first round. Yes.
Well, will Musetti play? He did retire from his last match. I was going to say there's quite a few. Yes. Quite a few comeback stories in this section.
I'm hoping he sort of turns up for the paycheck and Lloyd Harris plays like a 60% like Lorenzo Musetti. But it's great to see him back because, he had a few injury troubles last year that sort of kept him out of the game for an extended period of time. So nice to see him in the draw with his flowing locks. I'm sure Rafa also will be pleased he's not anywhere, anywhere near him.
Playing, I mean, Harris Musetti, that's sort of a battle of two guys with quite flowing locks. Musetti's got quite a good hairstyle as well, hasn't he? Carl Edmund also has an interesting first round against Jannik Sinner. I mean, I expect that's going to be one-way traffic.
I mean, what do you make of Jannik Sinner? Because is there an argument to say he's become a little bit more of a forgotten man with kind of the rise of kind of Casper Ruud and Holger Rune? He's the 15th seed here. I feel like a few years ago we were talking about him more like, he's going to win, this guy's going to win a Grand Slam. But now is he more, where do you see him kind of going into the season?
I think you've got to put it in perspective in terms of the fact that he has performed so well already at such a young age. Like, he is 21.
Yeah.
And I think we looked at that statistic in terms of Berrettini had only just made it to all of the Slam quarterfinals and Jannik Sinner made it the very next Grand Slam. So he is very much still the best of, the most consistent across all of the different Grand Slams, and he's putting together some great performances. We did actually ask this question on our Twitter. We asked, will this be the year that Jannik Sinner breaks through at a major? What will his best result be? And most people, 42.9% of people, said semi-finalist, and 25% said winner. So I think there's definitely the people who do think he will break through. But I think you're right, he is going a bit under the radar when I think a lot of people thought that he would be causing a bit more damage rather than the occasional upset at the Slams to make a quarter.
I often find when people go under the radar, that's when they're at their most dangerous. So perhaps it might suit him better that way. And I'd be interested to know what those 42.9% of people, like which event, which slam they think that semi-final may well come from. So, because, he's very consistent across all surfaces.
Yeah,
so it's quite hard to necessarily choose just one of them. Let's look at the third quarter now. So going to the second half of the draw. This is Djokovic's section of the draw, and as we mentioned earlier, his red carpet is rolling out for him. He opens against Roberto Caballes Baena of Spain. Looking at his draw, he may well play Dimitrov or Karatsev in the third round, possibly PCB in the fourth round, or Alex de Minaur, the home hope. Benjamin Bonzi is in that section as well, I note.
French number one, or near French almost number one, Benjamin Bonzi.
Well, almost.
He didn't win this week. It's still Mannarino.
Well, Mannarino is also lurking around that part of the draw as well.
He's got John Isner in the first round. So who knows? By the end of the AO, we may have a new French number one. Could be someone else entirely, perhaps. But yes, looking at Djokovic's section, I mean, his quarterfinalist could potentially be Holger Rune or Rublev. Or Nick Kyrgios. They're the three names that spring to mind.
But Kim, we're seeing it tomorrow in the practice match. We don't need to see it again. Like in a week's time in a fourth round or quarter final or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they played last year. We don't need to see it again anyway, do we? I'm quite curious to see how Kyrgios is going to perform now that people are expecting a bit more of him based on what he did last year and, with the home crowd. I'm sure he'll have tons and tons of support, but it will be quite interesting to see if he makes it to that quarterfinal showdown.
A lot of pressure for him.
Chris, is there a match in this section that sort of stands out for you in the first round, or anything, any players that you've got your eye on in this
Galan
quarter?
Versus Shardy.
I was like, Shardy's back. I know that he played a doubles match the other day, but I thought he was really stepping away from the game. So it turns out French tennis is in such crisis that they're bringing back Shardy to try and get him back to French number one. But matches I've got my eye on. I do, as we've talked about, I do think Djokovic will make it through this. I would love to see how Holger Rune would fare against a Nick Kyrgios, but I'd also would love to see, you know, Rublev team. I think team might spring an upset there. Rublev hasn't had the form. It would be great if team could get some
wins.
He's
been out of sorts since the start of the season. I don't think he doesn't feel to me like the number fifth seed in the men's draw.
Doesn't have the belief, I don't think, at the moment, starting the season. And a few opponents have been able to kind of bully him around on the court. He lost to Kokkinakis this week. So I think if Dominic Thiem is going to get a top 10 win, I think he's got the perfect draw for that one. And then it does open up a bit with Dan Evans. So for me, I think the excitement probably does lie in the Holger Kyrgios potential matchup. And then whoever wins that one, I think will have a great one against Djokovic.
I think just going back to Thiem there, I think if it's his for the taking in a way, if Rublev is very much below par. And looking at the rest of the draw, I mean, yes, Dan Evans could well beat, a Thiem of 2023, not a Thiem of, 2020, but, or 2019. But Thiem could very well make it through to, say, the fourth round if he could put together a string of wins, which would be great to see him back at that stage of a slam again.
That would be a fascinating match if it did get to that, like, but who knows, Dominic Thiem, Nick Kyrgios, because I think that was the last, match, Dominic Thiem had before, he went into kind of, an extended period because of injury where, Nick Kyrgios, I think, did he defeat him at the Australian Open?
Thiem got the win at
Thiem
Australian
got
Open.
The win, sorry.
Yeah, and that was in that 2021. But Kyrgios was two sets up.
Was that the match where they all had to leave halfway through because the lockdown rules were changing, or
I think that was the case.
It might have been. Was it that match?
Yeah, that was the case.
We're delving
into the curfew.
Yes,
because it was the third round, and then the rules changed, so they did have to go. That's correct.
Yes. So that's the depths of our sort of tennis COVID knowledge there.
Dominic Thiem. Yeah, it's got a good opportunity there.
Yeah. I mean, just talking about Novak, the only thing that may prevent him is something like an injury. And there were some rumours that, he has a bit of an issue with his hamstring because he pulled out of a practice match with Medvedev after about half an hour. Personally, I'm not, going to read too much into that. I think he's just being very cautious and, obviously, now that there's funds being put on this match with Kyrgios, this practice match, I assume he's probably prioritising commitments like that if he has to. But I mean, if it was that bad, he wouldn't end up playing that, would he, tomorrow night? So I don't know about you guys, but I don't think it's anything that Djokovic fans would perhaps worry about too much.
He could lose a limb and he'd probably still make it to the
second. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. The draw on paper that he's been given, I feel like regardless of if he's had a hamstring injury or not, he should be able to kind of come through that. It might be a factor, later on.
I just remember that match against Taylor Fritz 2 years ago where we all thought he was going to retire and he pulled through and obviously won in flying colours the rest of the tournament. But let's look at the last section of the men's draw. Casper Ruud is the second seed, so he's down at the bottom of the draw. He made a couple of slam finals last year, has been very consistent in slams last year. So really looking to see if he can keep that form up at this level at the start of this year. Looking at his draw, he could face Berrettini in the fourth round or perhaps Roberto Bautista Agut. And then kind of the rest of that section, we've got a Taylor Fritz and a Sasha Zverev in the other bit. They could meet in the fourth round, the winner of whom would potentially play Ruud or Berrettini, if the seedings go to plan, that is. We all know things can easily change. Chris, Casper Ruud, do you have high hopes for him at this year's Australian Open? He didn't actually play this event last year because he was injured. So if you think about the slams that he did end up playing, he did pretty well. And this will be his highest ever seeding in any Grand Slam so far in his career. So do you think he will justify his seeding and potentially make another final?
I think it's hard to say with Casper, isn't it? I think he can really lose to someone who you would think is relatively unknown or, you know, not really a contender. And then he'll pop up at one of the big tournaments, like the end of season finals. He made the finals, 2 Grand Slam finals. So this is Grand Slam Casper. Then I think, why not? But I think based on some of his previous form in Australia, the fact he hasn't necessarily had the practice you'd want going into this. He played against Berrettini at the United Cup, and that was quite a convincing win for Berrettini. And that was the opposite when they played at the US Open, where he made Berrettini look pretty average. So it's a really hard one to call. I don't think he's going to get knocked out in the first round or anything like that. I think he will set up that Berrettini clash, but I'm just not sure if this is the best surface for him and if he's in the best sort of form coming into this one. That's quite an on-the-fence answer.
He's just waiting for the golden swing. Get on the clay as quick as possible.
The Australian Open. That's all he cares about, really. Golden swing.
I'm sort of that opinion that I keep looking at Casper Ruud, number 2 seed. I keep thinking this is like Annette Contaveit when she was number 2 seed on the, you know, the
that
ladies' draw. Is that too hard?
Two time slam finalist.
Yeah, she hasn't got to any slam finals.
I know. Well, I was thinking that, but again, I'm not being convinced by his form at the start of the season, and I personally think he's a little bit of a vulnerable number 2 seed.
5 sets, remember.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. He's gonna prosper too greatly, I think, in Melbourne is sort of my view. I've had Roberto Bautista Agut actually. I've sort of penciled him in to make the quarterfinals.
You think he'll make it past Bublik?
Maybe. I don't know.
Tommy Paul's in there. That's a tricky section for
Jensen Brooksby. I think I've not seen enough of Ruud this season to make me think, yeah, he's gonna carry on from last season and keep on doing great things at Grand Slams.
Yeah,
in Melbourne so early on in the season, I expect him to pick it up at some point, but I'm not sure in Melbourne.
Kind of want Casper to win it now, just so that we can replay this.
I can see our listeners are just ready to write in to me and be like, yeah,
eyes are rolling.
How dare you talk so blasphemous about Casper Ruud?
And Joel, as a big Andy Murray fan, did your heart sink when he got Matteo Berrettini in the first round?
I mean, it's a really awful draw, I think, for Murray, who, you know, had a nice win against De Minaur at the Kuyong Classic the other day. He played well against Korda. Given Korda got to the final and pushed Djokovic so hard, I feel like he's playing at a good level at the moment. And I think he admitted he was hoping for a kind draw. Well, the draw gods were not, I think, that kind to him. You know, he lost to Berrettini at the US Open, I think, in the third round last year. And again, it's just going to be a very tough matchup. Berrettini got to the semi-finals at the Australian Open last year. And, you know, I think it's going to be a very formidable, very tough opponent. And as a Murray fan, a very unfortunate opponent, because I cannot see, you know, despite his, you know, returning capabilities, and, you know, if the Berrettini serve is on song, it's going to be a very tough one, I think, to put away.
And just before we move on to sort of revealing our predictions for the men's draw, Taylor Fritz, I know, Joel, you said you had really high hopes for him this season. Looking at his draw, do you think that this could be the moment?
I think this is a great spot for him in the draw, along with actually Alexander Zverev, who I think is going to go into this tournament again quite under the radar, but I think is in quite a nice spot. I mean, the closest seed to him is Diego Schwartzman, who hasn't been great really, I think, for the last, you know, 6 months or so. I think there's an opportunity for someone here. And I think Taylor Fritz, again, given how, the momentum he is carrying in, I think, from the United Cup, you know, United States winning that, him doing so well in the singles. Maybe he's, I think, first in line to make the most of this opportunity in this quarter, because I think he's the form player in it at the moment.
There's a word of warning for you there, Joel. I did predict that he would win the US Open, and he went out in the first round to Tracy Austin's son, Brandon Holt. And then a quote that I've just looked up from him, he said he had really high hopes. I feel like an idiot for thinking I could win this thing, the US Open. Mm. So,
well,
I think
you
after
need,
that,
you need
I
those
can't.
Defeats. You need those defeats in the locker, I think, to kind of, you know, manage yourself, manage expectations.
The pressure must be on now. He needs a Grand Slam result, doesn't he?
Mm.
Like a really big one.
Yeah, he does. And I think I have no reason to think that he can't, you know, he can't do it. He's been playing some great tennis. I think I'm really curious to see actually how Sasha Zverev gets on, because I think if he had been handed a tougher draw, then I would have said, you know, he's
the easiest draw imaginable, this one.
Yeah, he's a seed that, you know, is there for the, you know, there for the taking. But the way the way it's fallen for him, you know, it's been pretty kind. I think been pretty kind. You know, got qualifier, lucky loser in the first round, and then, you know, David Goffin, Jordan Thompson, JJ Wolf, Diego Schwartzman. Yeah, it's a nice. It's a definitely for me a very comfortable place in the draw to land in.
Yeah, I think for me this quarter is actually the most interesting, because I am curious to see what Zverev's going to do. Curious about Taylor Fritz. Like you said, he has that.
What are
loss
you expecting
in his
from Zverev, Kim? Should we be expecting anything from him?
Well, I've expected him to win the US Open later in the year. I think it might take him a while to get his mojo back. But, you know, with the last time we saw him at a slam, he was potentially going to knock Rafa out of the French Open. Like, he
and
was
potentially
playing that
win the
well.
Whole thing, yeah.
So I think obviously it'd be going somewhere to sort of immediately resurrect that form. But, you know, he's definitely, I think, in the right space where we're not really, I don't think too many people are going to be talking about him coming back after such a long injury. Well, I say long injury, obviously some players have had longer time out, but still very significant. Let's have a look at what we've predicted for each of the quarters.
Oh God, this is my least favourite part.
Well,
predicting just, what definitely won't
long.
Happen.
Yeah. The predictions that won't happen, I think, is probably the best way to frame this.
Yeah. So let's go quarter by quarter and we'll just go around the room and say who we've got. So quarter one, Chris, who are you going for?
I have gone for Nadal and Korda.
Okay. Joel?
I've gone, despite being a doom monger for Rafael Nadal earlier, I've gone Nadal Medvedev.
Ooh, repeat of last year's final. Mm. Yeah, could well have that. I've gone for TFO and Korda, and that's just because I obviously want Rafa to be there, but I'm doing that sort of superstitious, don't want to predict him sort of thing. But
just
genuinely,
gone for wild card.
Well, yeah. So I'm going for an all-American quarter. Quarter two, I've gone for Tsitsipas against Borna Koric. Mm-hmm. Joel, who have you got for that one?
I'm going Cam Nori, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Okay, nice.
I did the same. Nori Tsitsipas.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd like Nori to get there, but you know. Quarter three, Joel, this is the potentially popcorn match quarter final.
I think we're going to have practice match part two, Nick Kyrgios, Novak Djokovic.
Right, Chris?
I mean, I sound a bit boring. I've got the same. I've gone for Kyrgios Djokovic.
Well, I'm the only one that hasn't gone for Kyrgios then. I've gone for Holger Rune against Djokovic.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
A repeat of the Paris final.
Quite, yeah, exactly, right? So, yeah. And quarter four, I have Fritz against Casper Ruud. Chris, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Fritz Berrettini.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Interesting. We've all gone Taylor Fritz. Surprise, surprise. I've not gone Casper Ruud. I have gone with RBA. I think RBA. He started the season like a house on fire.
The worst prediction of the lot, I think.
You sound so dismissive.
Just wait until we get to week
two. There's no way. He's going
and I'll
round
be talking
one
about
out.
Taylor Fritz and Roberto Bautista Agut in that bottom quarter.
RBA is quite consistent. You know, he's had some deep runs. He got to the semis at Wimbledon once, so
he's got to be getting on,
now
though as well, and he plays a very physical game.
He had to postpone his stag do for his mate, stag didn't he, to play in it.
Yeah,
well, I think it was his own stag do.
I thought it was his own. Yeah. I feel like if it was your mates that wouldn't really be news. You just had something in your calendar. Yeah,
I think I'd rather play a Wimbledon semi-final than go to my mates.
I'd rather get out of it. Yeah.
Well, speak for yourself, Kim. Yeah, no.
So our semi-final lineups, Chris, who have you gone for?
I'm sorry, Kim. I've gone for Korda and Tsitsipas.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and the other semi-final as well. Yeah, well, I was going to say,
just admiring that you both went for the same.
Sorry, I read the wrong thing. Sorry. I should be doing my other semi-final, should I?
What's your other semi?
I went Djokovic, Fritz.
Okay. I've gone Djokovic, Rude, so we've got three or four the same. Joel, you going to go somewhere?
RBA, Djokovic.
No, the RBA fairy tale is ending in the quarters to Taylor Fritz, who will face Novak Djokovic. And I've got Daniel Medvedev defeating Rafa in the quarters and taking on, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
So, Joel, who's your final and who's your champion?
Well, I'm going Medvedev versus Djokovic in my final with Djokovic as your champion and going to complete la decima, la Aussie decima.
I feel like we've seen a Medvedev-Djokovic slam final before, you know. Chris, what about you?
I have gone for Tsitsipas Djokovic, and I was really tossing up on this one because something is telling me that Tsitsipas is going to do something this year. I just think something's changing him, but how do you bet against Djokovic? I thought this time I've got to go a bit safer because I did like a right idiot last time with Anisimova and Fritz, and neither of them made it past round one.
You've gone safe this time. Safe. So you've got, who's your champion? Djokovic.
Djokovic,
I've gone the same. I've gone Tsitsipas-Djokovic final with Djokovic. I think Korda Tsitsipas, if that happens, Korda will give him a great run for his money, but I think experience will just win out.
Korda is so fragile. I'm not convinced he has the body to hold out to semi-final.
Oh, well, we will see. That's the joy of predictions. And on the really unsurprising news that we've all predicted Novak Djokovic to win his 10th Australian Open, let's take a quick break, but we'll be back in the second half where we'll be looking at the women's draw, plus revealing our collect a set player picks. So do not go anywhere.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to the Australian Open draw preview, sponsored by DownloadTennis.com. And let's move on to look at the women's draw. Before we do look at the draw, though, just to touch on something we mentioned at the end of our previous podcast, and that was about Naomi Osaka, who had revealed that she was not going to be playing the AO this year. She must have been listening to our podcast because, like, a day later, she revealed to the world via social media that she's pregnant and is expecting her first child, so will not be on tour this year, but she is planning to be back in 2024. So, Chris, this answers some of the questions that we raised the other day about her desires and motivations. What did you make of this news? Obviously, it's very pleasing for her, but do you think we will see her this time next year coming back?
I think so. I think it's almost the perfect time for her to do this. And I think it obviously speaks to the fact that taking the time off court has been really good for her. And this is such exciting news for her. And I think we've seen with Serena that, and with players like Djokovic and Federer, that playing in front of your children is something that can give you such motivation to make them proud. So you're not just doing it for yourself. I mean, she's done it for herself. She's shown everyone she can do it. And I think it will be a really great thing for her. And I think it's really nice news, because I think we were all worried if it might be slightly more mental health related potentially, and then we wouldn't see her next year, and then, you know, it might go on. So this is super nice that she said that her intention is to come back, and there's such nice news that she is expecting. So we wish her all the best for 2023.
Quite, yeah. All the very best to her. And let's look at who we do have at the Australian Open. So the first section of the draw is, of course, headlined by the world number one, Iga Świątek. And looking at the rest of that draw in terms of potential quarterfinal matchups, it would be a Coco Gauff as a seventh seed, or potentially a Paula Badosa as the 11th seed for Świątek.
But it's going to be Emma Raducanu.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, she's going to steamroll her way as she did in Flushing Meadows 2021. Why would she not? but I mean, going back to Świątek, before potentially getting to the quarter, she may very well have a rematch of that semi-final of last year where she lost to Danielle Collins, because that could very well be her fourth round match up with Danielle Collins, obviously last year's finalist. Wimbledon champion Rybakina also in that section.
US Open champion Bianca Andreescu as well.
Yeah, it's very easy to forget about her, because that seems like a lifetime ago that she won the US Open. I mean, just thinking about Świątek and obviously that loss to Pegula at the United Cup, the fact she was in tears. As the world number one on the top seed, Chris, are you thinking this is, you know, Świątek's kind of got this nailed in, or are you thinking she's quite fragile coming into this draw? Where are you at with Iga?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think that she's fragile. So I definitely wouldn't describe her. I think she's in a more vulnerable position than she has been in terms of her form coming in. I think she has had, as we said last time, two quite humbling losses where she only got four games. And she didn't necessarily make them competitive. Whereas on her winning streak, even if she lost a set, she made them very competitive. You really had to beat her. So I think there are times when her game hasn't showed up for her. So it'll be interesting to see if she loses sort of the first set in one of the early rounds, how she responds to it. And it could actually be one of the best things for her. You know, Yul Niemeyer is a very good player, Wimbledon quarterfinalist last year. And she's lost a set to her before and then really come through in strong fashion. So a couple of early tests, I think, and Iga could really get her groove back. But for me, I think it's going to be a tough one to see. I think this might be the Grand Slam that I kind of, apart from Wimbledon, that I see her sort of struggling slightly more at, even though she did make the semis last year. But you know what? I think Bianca's coming back into form. That is not someone you want to be playing. And when they played in Rome, they had a very good first set. So there's enough tests in that first section, but if she makes it through, we've seen how she can really run away with things. But as we said, it's a tricky one to call.
Yeah, and Joel, looking at this quarter, obviously Coco Gauff won the title last week. Paula Badosa's doing all right at the moment in Adelaide, I think. Yes. Is there anyone who's drawing the eye here for you in this quarter?
I mean, yeah, I think Coco Gauff for me is again a player who has got a really good opportunity here. I think it's a tough draw. There are some up and coming players as well, like Qinwen Zheng, who came on the map. She won the newcomer award for the WTA tour last year. So I'm interested to see how she gets on. We know on her day, Yelena Ostapenko can just leave a trail of destruction, I feel, through a draw. So yeah, it's kind of some different kind of obstacles, I think, there. And you've obviously also got Emma Raducanu, who I'm interested to see. She's got Korpač, in the first round. I'm really hoping she can come through that, and there's no signs of any potential ankle injury, which has been kind of, has dogged her really in the build up to Melbourne. But I would love to see a Raducanu versus Gauff second round. I feel like that would be a real marquee match, in the women's draw. So yeah, I think Gauff has got some interesting kind of obstacles, on her path, and Siniaková as well in the first round. I think personally, I think she's quite an underrated singles player. I know we know her for kind of her doubles prowess, but I don't think that's going to be particularly easy for Gauff.
Well, we've seen that match, Joel. We saw that at the Billie Jean King Cup, where Siniaková destroyed her in that singles match.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is probably a real worrisome first round for Coco Gauff. So yeah, it's very good that she's got some wins.
We're not really talking about that, I think, as upset alert type match, but it very well could be.
Yeah.
Well, if it is, we called it here first, didn't we? We'll just lay claim to that. And moving on to the second quarter, we've also got very high hopes for someone in this section because Jessie Pegula, who is the third seed, is...
Anisimova, do you mean? Kind of
top of this section. Yeah, or Chris, you may... Do you want to predict Anisimova for this Grand Slam?
For the title,
instead?
Yes, she's, for the title.
Yeah, she's in this section. She could well play Pegula in the third round. We've also got the likes of Petra Kvitova. That could be a fourth round for Pegula. Further down, we've got Maria Sakkari, Madison Keys, Victoria Azarenka. She opens against Sofia Kenin. So that's a matchup for the headlines, really. Two
a
former
champion. Sofia Kenin as well. She haven't... Great start to the season.
Yeah, she's in the semi-finals of Hobart, I think it is, at the moment. Do you think that is significant, Joel? Do you see her?
I think any win, Kim. I think any win for Sofia Kenin on the WTA tour at the moment is significant. I think it's given her momentum and it's given her confidence, regardless of the rankings of the players. She's come across, coming across against, and. For me, Kenin Azarenka, that's Grand Slam champion versus Grand Slam champion. We're seeing a lot more of these type matches in first rounds of Grand Slams. And again, this one to me is very fascinating just because of the Kenin factor in terms of, how she started the season. I think it would have been maybe a little bit more of a non-event last season, but I think, I probably still expect Azarenka to come through that, but I certainly think Kenin could give Azarenka a good game. She gave Coco Gauff, eventual winner, last week in
Auckland. But I have to say, Joel, we have to remind our listeners that the last time Victoria Azarenka and Sofia Kenin played was in Rome. It was after Kenin had won the Australian Open in 2020, and it was 6-love, 6-love to Azarenka. So that
maybe
is...
Maybe she'll be out for revenge then.
But there's some scar tissue there must be. But we did ask our listeners as well. We asked you who we thought would win this one, and 72% of you said Azarenka. So I do think it has got a real... The fact that it was a double bagel last time means that this is a bit even more interesting, This is very hard to call at this stage.
But Sofia Kenin, after that loss, did go and make the French Open final because that was the year it was played in October. So yes. I wonder how much scar tissue there is considering she went deep subsequent to that. But yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how they fare against each other. Just looking at that bit of the draw, Harriet Dart's kind of in that section. She's got Jill Teichmann, the 32nd seed in the first round.
Tough.
Which...
That's
it's tough. Yeah, I think a lot of the Brits, most of them have just not had great draws, really. But, I think Harriet, she took out Kazakhina at the US Open. I think this is certainly winnable if she's playing as well as we know she can play. But, yeah, it's a tall ask, I think. Jill Teichmann on her day is very, very good.
And Rebecca Marino, round two, that's a tough one as well if she gets past Teichmann. So that's a tough section.
Yeah, the women's draw is tough, tough, tough. And I think looking at Pegula's draw, it's pretty decent. Generally, if she's going to go deep at a slam, really deep for the first time.
What are you thinking about Barbora Krejcikova? Because I've been reading in the build-up that she is a lot of people's, dark horse. She had a good second half of last season. I think she won, two titles. Again, another former Grand Slam champion going under the radar a little bit as the 20th seed, perhaps.
Chris, you like a bit of Krejcikova, predicting her, the French, basically. What do you think?
I think she's one of those players who has such a solid basis of a game. And she never knows when she's beaten. I think she's got really good, strong mental fortitude on the court. So if there's a way that she can get a win, even if she's not playing well, she does tend to do it. So I think there's real potential for her, especially with this draw. Lots of qualifiers in that area. of the draw. Kvitova, I think, would be quite a good matchup for her because she can probably play a little bit more consistently at times. But then I think when you hit a player like Pegula, who's in such good form and plays so consistently, I think that's where she might become a little bit unstuck. But I do think that could be a potential fourth round encounter. But for me, I think Madison Keys last year was sensational. That was when the Keys sort of resurgence really took off. And probably some of the best tennis I saw last year was when she made Paula Badosa look really average. In I think it was the fourth round there. It was quite some sort of display of hitting. But does anyone think that Keys will be able to repeat the semi-final appearance this year?
She's certainly capable because we know she obviously has gone deep at slams before and on her day is fantastic. So I don't see why not. I think, you know, I think it's less like she would do that again than it is that she would, but I'm not ruling it out by any means.
I find it amazing that I think, you know, Tomjanovic had a career best season last season. And yeah, she's unseeded. She's I think going to be quite a handful. I certainly think she's a player who has capabilities. She's shown it in the past to get to the second week of Grand Slam. So, you know, even for, you know, Azarenka, Kenin, you know, the winner of that could face Tomjanovic again. Quite a tricky start there in that spot in the draw.
I was also just looking because I saw there's a player called Storm Hunter and I thought, that's an interesting name. But it's Storm Sanders who got married, yes. I think. Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Storm Hunter, indeed.
I was wondering if they're just... Storm is just a very popular Australian name. Isn't that funny that she's now Storm Hunter?
It's just iconic. It's fantastic.
I
Storm
feel like
Sanders, yeah.
Be a meteorologist. Something. The third quarter, we do have Caroline Garcia as the fourth seed. She did lose today to Belinda Bencic. So Chris, are you a bit less confident now about Garcia and the prophecy? Or are you thinking, looking at her draw, that she's got a good run here?
I think that's a great
if not now question. When is my question on Garcia.
Well, I did say Wimbledon on the last pod,
right.
But
I've also said
spoiler alert, I've also said here. So turns out whatever she plays, I think that she can do it because I think you have to believe in her because she needs to believe in herself to be able to do it, because if she doesn't believe in those shots, they are flying out the baseline because she is really committed to them. So I think for her, on the day, she can beat anybody. And like with the Bencic match today, Bencic I really rate, and I think she's been playing great tennis, and that match only really was lost in that final game when Bencic broke to take it, so that could have easily gone either way. I think that's quite a good test because she's had some good wins. It's not been like she's had the perfect preparation, so I think sometimes that helps because, as we've said, you can have the perfect preparation and then it's very hard the following week to back it up. So Leila Fernandez could be a tricky player to play. I think that's a potential second round. But I think, I see her getting out of this section personally, but I think I'm like, whatever happens, I'm saying Garcia is winning things at the moment. So
it is quite an
me.
Open section, isn't it? I mean, you've got Kazakina, the eighth seed at the top there, Annette Contaveit, who, Joel, she's no longer the second seed, you'll be pleased. She's back down to 16. Kudermetova is the ninth seed. She's seems to be playing really well at the moment. Started
really well.
The season well. Pliskova, I mean, you know, she's certainly fallen from her top 10 days, but she's there or thereabouts. Could never quite rule her out, I suppose. Yeah, Joel, thoughts on this quarter?
Yeah, I think I just think, you know, all the momentum and the, you know, the wins and... you know, how the performances that Garcia put in, you know, last season, it's now, I think for me, it's like, to what end? And I think it is about now, like getting back to that question of, are you a Grand Slam contender? And I think with the quarter that she's been given, she's got a great platform here, I think, to, you know, to have a crack at, you know, potentially, you know, getting to an Australian Open final. You know, I think it's going to be tough if she has to face, you know, Fernandez or even Cornet, who's, you know, very experienced competitor on the circuit in the second round. But I think this is to be honest, I think this is a part of the draw that I think, there's no real, I think, big threats, despite, you know, some of the names in there. I think they're there, but are sort of living on maybe past glories more than present glories that Caroline Garcia is.
Yeah, the AO is just so difficult to predict because there's just so much less form, you know, I mean, to go on, because you've had the off season. I know we've had a couple of weeks of play, but it is very difficult, isn't it, to see who's really in a groove. But I mean, I personally hope Garcia's groove from last year carries on. I can't believe really that
Garcia's groove. I like that.
Garcia's groove.
Grooving today. That's a
bit of alliteration for everyone. Yeah. Grooving to the prophecy, we shall see. Fourth quarter, we've got Ons Jabeur at the bottom of the draw as the second seed. We've also got Aryna Sabalenka as the fifth seed. Belinda Bencic, Chris, very highly rated by yourself and many others, of course, as the 12th seed. Samsonova, Hadadmaya, all these players who have had fantastic streaks
Sloane
of form.
Sloane Stephens, fantastic streak of form also.
Bobby Muguruza, if you're going to be saying Sloane Stephens as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, Linda Fravertova's in this section, and her sister has qualified, actually, Brenda, who we spoke about the other day. Joel, Ons Jabeur, second seed, you know, obviously made two slam finals last year. The last two slams, really. So could she make it a third slam final on the trot, perhaps?
I think it's going to be tough. I think Sabalenka has looked the best player. Arguably, I'd say the best player, I think, on the tour so far this season, I think, on the WTA side. And I think she's going to be a real formidable... I say this all the time, but, you know, with Sabalenka at Grand Slams, but she's such a... on her day can be such a formidable powerhouse of a player. And, you know, from what we've seen so far, if she can keep, you know, that serving and that intensity up, I don't think a lot of players are going to be able to match her, including Ons Jabeur. So I actually think this quarter is more Sabalenka's, I think, to lose than Jabeur.
Really?
And I think she's got, you know, she could have Marketa Vondrousova in the second round, which I think could be quite... you know, difficult. You've got Kaia Kanepi as well, potentially in the third round. You know, we know how much she loves a top 10 victory at a Grand Slam. So, yes, Ons Jabeur, second seed. I'm sure she'll be great. But I think it's going to be tough going in this quarter.
I'd completely forgotten about Vondrousova. I forgot that she reached a slam final. And yeah. It seems ages ago. Blimey. Chris, what were you thinking on this section?
Well, this is the quarter of the dangerous floater. We have, as we said, former Grand Slam finalist Vondrousova. We have the ever dangerous Donna Vekic. We have Grand Slam winner Sloane Stephens, Grand Slam winner Muguruza, finalist Pavlyuchenkova. So this is one where I'm almost looking at some of the unseeded players in this section where I think they might be able to pull some form together. I think
Shelby Rogers.
It's tricky, right? It's a tricky section. I do think that Sabalenka will put in a good run, but having said that, I think there are some players that can also have something to say about that, such as Bencic, Hadadmaya. She takes a lot of beating. The courts are a bit slower in Australia. I think you'd really have to play really well to hit through her. I think it's tricky to call. I just don't see Ons necessarily kind of coming out of this into the semi-finals. I think that run of finals will be broken. But I do think this section is about to get messy as the tournament progresses.
Well, on that note, on that messy note, let's do our quarter-by-quarter.
Let's get some messy predictions in.
Predictions, yeah. Joel, kick us off. Who's in your quarter one matchup?
I'm going Iga Świątek versus Yelena Ostapenko.
Oh,
so we haven't even discussed Ostapenko, but she's there or thereabouts. Yeah. Chris, what about you?
I went for completely different players. I went for Andreescu and Berdossa.
Oh, really? Who do you think Świątek's losing to?
Andreescu.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, I've gone for Karolina Muchova against Coco Gauff. So we've all gone for six different players.
We've covered all bases. That's
you love talking about Karolina Muchova, Kim, I swear.
She has got to a I think a say up semi-final AO, definitely a quarter.
You predicted her to win Wimbledon semi. 1 year on the pod, I think, as well. I think,
and I never let her forget about it.
But yeah, I think the year after that, she did do very well at Wimbledon. So I'm always a year ahead in my predictions. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, I feel that Mukova is going to take out Świątek. So yeah, quarter two, Chris, who's in your second quarter?
Pegula Keys.
Okay, Joel?
Pegula Azarenka.
Oh, I've gone for Pegula Sakkari. So we're all in agreement on Pegula.
Pegula is the constant.
And your third quarter, Joel?
Kudametova versus Garcia.
Oh, Chris.
I've gone for the same, yeah.
I've also gone for the same.
Full house.
Full house. It's like bingo, isn't it? right, fourth quarter, Chris.
Bencic, Haddad-Maia.
Oh, I'm very close. I've gone for Sabalenka, Haddad-Maia. And Joel, what about you?
I've gone Sabalenka, Yabor.
Just with the seeds. It's a cop-out, Joel.
Yeah, that's a bit of a cop-out, actually, yeah.
So, Joel, who have you got in your semi-final lineup?
So, my semi-finals are pretty straight into the form book, I think, over the last year or so. I've got Świątek versus Jessie Pegula, and I've got Garcia versus Sabalenka.
Okay, yeah. I think that is a very reasonable...
Yeah, it's a bit boring, if I'm being honest. A bit vanilla.
Chris, what about you?
I've gone for Pegula Badosa. And then I've gone for Garcia Bencic.
Oh, okay. Well, I've gone for Pegula and Coco Gauff. And then I've gone for Kudametova and Sabalenka.
Wait, do you think that Gauff is going to take out
Mukova?
Iga? Oh, Mukova's going to, sorry.
No, Mukova before that. Yeah. Got it. Yes. And so I've got Pegula, Sabalenka as the final with Pegula winning. Joel, what about you?
I have got the same. Pegula, okay. Sabalenka, Pegula.
And Chris, have you got Pegula in your final at all?
I do, but Pegula can't stop the prophecy. Garcia is going to take it, is what I've gone for.
Someone had to get that in there.
What will Pegula's, not Garcia's groove, Pegula's party? I don't know. I'm trying to think of some cool alliteration. Totally failing. Not very creative.
I'm sort of envisaging the ladies' final. Ash Barty is going to be looking on, and there's going to be loads of camera shots of like Ash Barty looking over, and then like a week, you know, during it, we're going to get like memes on Twitter of being like, yeah, I could beat both of you.
I mean, she really could. I watched highlights from last year today, and I just thought what Barty can do is... something else. I watched Barty Pegula, and I mean, obviously Pegula's games come on a lot, but Barty was, I mean, she made that look very pedestrian. Pedestrian Pegula. There we go.
Do you know, I was just thinking over this episode, actually, because Ash Barty also has announced that she's pregnant with a child recently. I'm putting it out there. They could come back in 2024. I feel like if Naomi Osaka does, you know, come back and she's all, you know, she becomes all business again on the tennis court, maybe that motivates a competitor like Ash Barty to be like, hang on, I'm gonna be making a comeback as well. Who knows?
Well, that remains to be decided.
A new prophecy, perhaps.
A new prophecy.
Wait, Joel, you can't have a prophecy. You're not Andy Murray. I'm sorry. I have to stop you there.
We do have one last thing before we finish for the evening, and that is to reveal this edition of Collector Set and our picks for the players that we're going to be asking everyone to predict how far they'll go into the tournament. So... for anyone who hasn't played before, Collector Set is our Grand Slam Predictions Challenge. We name three male players and three female players. And you, if you'd like to take part, have to tell us what round you think they will get to. So will they reach the first round? Will they reach the fourth round, semi-final, etc.? And if you think they're getting to the final, you do need to specify if they're the champion or the runner-up. So it's what round they're going to reach and then kind of lose in, or will they go all the way? I'm sure many of you will have played it before, and we hope that you'll send us your picks again, because the prize is a very special Tennis Weekly mug, which you'll all want to be sipping out of for tennis watching on the sofa going
forward.
Absolutely. We have had one of our listeners who participated in our crowdfund, Carol. She has picked one of the female players. So I'm going to give it to both of you to reveal our picks. Joel, would you like to reveal our male player picks for this edition?
So our collector set 2023 male picks for the Australian Open are Rafael Nadal, Sebi Korda, and Nick Kyrgios.
Had to go for the Kyrgios, didn't we?
I'm sure everyone's just like sick of Kyrgios sport already, but yes, he is firmly in the collector set. The collector set six.
And Chris, who are our female picks for this year?
Our female picks are Iga Świątek, Jessie Pegula, and then we have Carol Gibson's crowdfunder pick of Petra Martic. A bit different. Ooh. There. A bit of a curveball.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to have to go and study Petra Martic before I come to my decision on that one. She is very consistent, though. She does tend to do
just handy
quite well.
On her day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Handy. Yeah, handy player. So, yeah, thank you, Carol, for contributing and for your excellent crowdfund support. We would like predictions in before the start of play. So you've got till Sunday night UK time, which is basically when the tennis is all then kicking off in Melbourne. So you've got a couple of days. Let us know via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or via email. Just drop us a message with your picks and the round that you think each of those players are going to get to. So just to summarise, it's Nadal, Korda, Kyrgios, Świątek, Pegula and Petra Martic. We'll be revealing our picks in our round one catch-up, which we'll be recording on Tuesday.
Yes, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed our latest episode of the Tennis Weekly podcast, our Australian Open draws preview show. Remember to subscribe to us to stay up to date on all the action to come in Melbourne. As we go through, we'll be doing our round by round episodes, starting with our round one episode next Tuesday.
We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcasting platforms. And if you like what you're hearing, then make sure to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And you can also follow us on social media or email the show. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Tennis Weekly Pod. Or you can email us on tennisweeklypod@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out our website, www.tennisweekly.co.uk.
And we will be back on Tuesday at Tennis Weekly HQ for our round one catch up of the Australian Open. So I hope you can join us for that. But in the meantime, it's goodbye from Kim.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you again soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.